when Mr. Norbert Link spoke the other day early in the feast and spoke about courage civique, I think I got that correct. I felt a little panic because my split sermon was going to be about courage. But I realized as I was thinking about it and praying about it that they were really hand in hand and very complementary. And mine, as I view it, is really kind of the other part of Mr. Link's sermon, if you will. And in American football, there's something called an audible, which is when you're at the line and you notice the opponent's line up and the quarterback changes the plan in the moment, and the team then reacts quickly, hopefully. So while my sermon, split sermon title has been published, I'm technically referring to my revised, somewhat revised sermon, split sermon, as the Forge of God's Courage, but hopefully you'll see why. But the former remains. So early on in one of my very first sermonettes that I was asked to give in Coeur d'Alene several years ago, I spoke on the subject of fear, and it was a very personal reflection. Now, just a few days ago, and as I mentioned, Mr. Lincoln, his sermon, covered the concept of courage civique, that he went on to explain and use the scriptures that amplified the point of what Paul and Peter and the other early disciples of Jesus Christ had faced in the reaction that people had to what they were preaching. As often can occur during the feast, we can touch on the subject and scriptures that others had planned on presenting. Nonetheless, it's a good thing. We should never view that as a bad thing. Perhaps a point that God has decided, and I've heard this before as well in prior feasts, that it was a point perhaps that we needed to hear more about and consider in several ways, because it may be that important to us now and in our future as well. In hearing what Peter, Paul, and other disciples faced and did not back away from, it's inspiring, it's daunting, it's humbling, and I admit I was a bit unnerved. Would I have had the courage to face stoning and threats of worse treatment than that, even if I did not desist from preaching in the day? That had to be an unbelievable emotion and faith that one would have had to bear that up. Sadly, brethren, this may be a reality for all of us as believers of Jesus Christ and those loyal to God's commandments in one way or another that we might face. Some of us, and I dare say that Mr. Link faces this with some of the comments that we hear that are occasionally directed at him by those who are not following God, but looking purely for arguments against doing so and trying to prove everything wrong. The past 19 months or so, I haven't quite kept an accurate count of lockdowns and limits on the ability to travel and meet in some ways, has illustrated for us that the winds have shifted, and perhaps they had already done. But the current new reality is far more clear than following God rather than man will cause us to find something that perhaps daily life has not always required. And that is something we must do, is follow God. So courage. Let's read together. And every scripture I'm going to be using this morning is from the New King James. But we're going to begin in Joshua 1 and then verses 1 through 9. So again, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is beginning in, I was beginning in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Continuing on in 6. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And then continuing on in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We may be thinking that if we had God speaking with us as he did with Moses and Joshua, and it might well be easier for us to face down perhaps a modern-day Pharaoh or an enemy. And times have changed, but God does still speak with us. But it's through his Son and through his Word, the Scriptures. We must rely on this, pray, and ask for the courage for the things that we will face. I think we all pray that we could have more of God's presence with us and in us each and every day. We won't receive that if our connections are stronger with this world than they are with God and with his Son. I think that's pretty clear to all of us by now, but that's where we must focus, is our connection with God. So let's turn to 2 Samuel 7 and in verses 9 and 10. And as a context setting, King David was lamenting that he had not built a place for God to rest while he himself resided in a beautiful home made of cedar wood. You can only imagine what that must have been like. He spoke with Nathan the prophet at the time about this and was really lamenting that he hadn't done so. And that night, God spoke to Nathan and commanded that he share this with the king about the king's concern and the situation. So beginning in verse 9, and I've been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all of your enemies from before you and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them anymore as previously. And again, these words were meant not only to answer David's concern, but to bolster his courage so he could bolster the courage of the people he was leading. God knows what troubles us. And whether we know this or not, he's always well ahead of us. We needn't be concerned about that. We just have to open the way for that. And the way to that is prayer. He chooses to give us the courage that we require. He knows what we need in the situations that we face. We may never know from where the challenges that we may face may come. Will we face them at work? Many of us do. In our ability to meet to worship, as we've discussed during this feast and prior to, will that simply become more difficult? We simply do not know. And frankly, that is not for us to know. That is for God to know. As Paul spoke with the church at Corinth, he left them with this message. And this is taken from 1 Corinthians 16 and in verses 13 and 14. And it's entitled Final Exhortations. And I think this was really intended for Paul to leave a very strong message with the people there. It's very simple. But again, the words of God can be very simple, and we have to take them to heart. Sometimes as humans, we look for complexity. We look for the $20 words when God is giving us exactly what we need. Beginning in verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And in verse 14, let all that you do be done with love. So God gives us the way that we have to stand fast in the faith. Paul was not telling the church that the times would be easier as followers of Jesus. I think we know that. I think we've seen that. But he was telling them to be strong in their faith, to find the strength that they need in their faith through prayer, much as David found in his faith way back when he faced down Goliath. Did David truly believe that he could win this battle? Or was he relying on God? Did David perhaps have that confidence, that courage that God had provided? This is the point, brethren. Peter, Paul, King David, others found faith not always in the strength of a sword that David might have thought was forged by God, but in the forge of faith, if you will. This is what we require in the months and perhaps however much time we have left in the world as we know it, the forge of God's power in our lives. Reading in 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 20, we read what a great king at the time, David, said to his son Solomon, who would succeed him in building the temple and leading the nation. Again, 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 20. And David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And I assume that he meant far beyond the temple, that everything that God intended for Solomon to achieve. David had learned very well not to be fearful in dealing with the world and all the evil that the world would throw at him along his particular journey. Again, we need the same courage and the faith of God to face down what will come at us. God has said to others before us that we should not worry about the words. This is something I think we think about a lot when we're dealing with things at work or in other situations in the world. But God said, "I will put them in your mouth at the time." And we can have this amplified for us in Matthew 10 and in verse 19. In Matthew 10 and in verse 19. And perhaps some of us have already had these moments with respect to dealing with the world. And for a great example, maybe it's jury duty or explaining why you cannot attend a meeting on the Sabbath or why you need to be away for the feast. But let's read in Matthew 10 and verse 19. "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak." And again, that's something that we have to train ourselves. I know I personally, that's one of my failings, that I need to train myself to trust in that, that God will give me the words, God will give me the pathway. We must understand that being followers of Jesus Christ and of God is not the easy road. We all know that, or else we would not be in this room. That was a different choice when God first called us. That boat sailed when we accepted God's invitation to begin to learn, to begin to grow, because just as a newborn baby is not born as an adult with full knowledge, we were not born into the faith in that way. We needed to learn, but God gave us the call, and we accepted. Our choice is of delayed satisfaction indeed. We are blessed in this lifetime in many ways, and we merely need to look around us during the feast to see all the wonderful things that we are able to do, all the food we're able to eat freely and without constraints, and that we're able to be here together, and as I said, eat well and smile, enjoy our family, enjoy a party, enjoy each other. But the apostles of Jesus had not chosen the easy road either. They chose the opposite. as it relates to this world and the world they lived in. At the time, might it easier to have been to be fishing than to be following God and Jesus Christ and what Jesus was going to face? But they accepted his challenge. But this world is fleeting, as God tells us. So what do we want to accept? What do we want to yearn for? Something that's fleeting or something that's eternal? As God tells us, the form of this world is passing away. Yet his kingdom, as Isaiah writes to us, will be forever. And I think I once shared that, I think when I was beginning to explore the Bible and understand what I was reading for perhaps the first time, Isaiah 9 really, really, really hit home and made a point to me. So we're going to read in Isaiah 9, and we're going to begin in verse 7. Very familiar to everyone here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So that's what we have chosen when we accepted God's invitation. That's the courage that we need to find, is to understand that that's what's coming. Everything else is fleeting and truly passing away, even though moment to moment we don't see it. We can't capture that in a time release photo or time delayed photo. This is what we have chosen, brethren. This is what the disciples and many who have come before us have chosen. And they knew that the road might be, and in all likelihood would be, perilous. In Psalm 27 and in verse 14, and we'll read this together, and it's entitled, An Exuberant Declaration of Faith. And I love that title for some reason. I just think that is, it's fabulous, because it truly captures what David was saying here. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So again, there's a theme that we've seen all through this, all through God's word, is be of good courage. Simple words, not easy to take to heart and to practice day in and day out, when just the normal realities of life, whether it's the illness that we heard of this morning, when any of that is upon us, it's very hard to find that strength. But God tells us to do that. That's his command in calling us and in our trust in him. God has not given us a spirit of weakness and cowardice. We know that. He has chosen us for reasons of his own that we may never know. And perhaps someday we can ask. But it is so interesting that he did not choose the powerful of this world. We know that. Even David, though we think of him perhaps as a powerful man when we read the scriptures today, a ruler, a king, and we know his future role will be great. We know that he was at one point but a small boy, armed with what? A sling. He had something that a giant of a man who was well-armed, well-trained, well-girded, and hardened for battle, what he did not have. David had the faith of God's forge of iron, will, and strength. And again, I wonder, did he know that? Was that something he just understood? But he had the faith to go into that and say, I will do it. He volunteered. He had the courage. He was of good courage. He brought down Goliath, obviously. We know that story. And he brought down many enemies, not really with his hands and sword, but with God's power. Again, think of God's forge of courage and faith. And that's what we need to test us and to prepare us. When we forget that we are to rely on God and not on ourselves is when it crumbles. When we think we have some training or some magic formula that we've used before to get through a situation, it falls apart. As men and women, we are weak. No matter how many reps we do in a gym, no matter how strong we think we can become, in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of God, without God, we are weak. When we lean on God and lean into God and use what talents and skills He has given us, then we can win if it's God's intention. And we know we have to lean in and we have to rely on those talents and skills and pray for the strength that comes through those talents and skills. God expects us to apply ourselves. It's not given to us for free. We have to do the work, but God is there. It's the power of God that achieves. In 2 Timothy 1, and in verses 3 through 7, we see, and we can read this together most clearly, and this is entitled, Timothy's Faith and Heritage. Again, 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 7. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God expects us to use those. And then continuing on, because I think it just is too powerful to leave out. And again, entitled, Not Ashamed of the Gospel. I think this is very important in our lives, when it might be easier in a situation in this world to back away. We're not called to proselytize and to challenge people with our faith and our beliefs, but we're also called by God not to back away. So reading and continuing in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, but in verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Timothy is talking about courage and strength that he has found in Jesus Christ and in God. And then finally, in Timothy, we want to read just a few more scriptures in verse 13, and this is entitled, Be Loyal to the Faith. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So we have a helper, as we know, as we've heard time and time again. We're not doing this alone. When we're called, when we're baptized, we're given extra help. to face what we must. In 2 Corinthians 5 and in verses 16 through 20, we can actually begin to sum it up with God's assistance and clarity. Again, beginning in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Again, words of power, words of strength. Now then, continuing in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That takes courage, brethren. That is what God is asking of us. That's what our calling is about. Several of us, and just this morning, have been speaking this past week about the speed with which the nation we live in, and truly the other nations of the world that are part of the church, and how the world has declined. If one had been awakened from an extended coma, could you imagine? I can imagine the questions they would ask of their family and friends. What's become of their family, their neighborhood, their life, their work? When told of the state of the world, would they not have a hard time believing that this was the truth? Just in the past year since we've been together, how things have changed so dramatically. It would not be kind to lie to a person who's been away from reality for so long. However, that would be what they would hear. However, we know that this is the reality, and the speed and change can likely and may likely intensify, but it's all in God's hands and in God's time, and we can trust in that, and we can find our courage in that. We will need the power of his word and his forge of courage to do this work and face down what we must, as David did and others. Pray, brethren, I ask and suggest, for the will to do this. God does not expect nor want us to do this alone. Again, he's given us help. How many scriptures have we read together in which we clearly see that God implores us, commands us to rely on him and his strength? Again, we cannot do this by ourselves as humans. We would fail. Just yesterday, Mr. Mitchell made this point very clear in his sermonette. Though it can be frightening to us as humans, we need not worry what man can do to us. They can take this life from us if God allows it, if it's God's will. But if we obey God, we are his forever and under his blessing and his protection for eternal life. And that is the reward for the courage and our faith in God.